Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 3 in a moment, but amen. Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, pray that you would be with us as we meet together and study your word. Pray that you would just open our ears and help us to understand what you have for us. Be with those who are preaching your word around the world this morning, that your word might be clear.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're down to verse 3. We've seen that life is a mission from God. And number 2, we saw life as provision from God. And number 3, we're looking at life as blessings from God. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in where? Heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You may say, well, that's wonderful that God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But you may say this morning, I could sure use a few blessings in some earthly places right now. Maybe you've had some car trouble, or maybe some physical trouble, or maybe some house trouble. Maybe some pain trouble. Hold your place here, if you would. Notice in Revelation 21, Revelation 21 and verse 4, Revelation 21 and verse 4. The Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more what? Pain, for the former things are passed away. When people die, they often say so-and-so passed away. Well, we're looking forward to the death of pain, aren't we? Seeing it pass away. So God has prepared some wonderful things for us in heavenly places. But sometimes people say, as I mentioned, but that's great that he's provided some wonderful things in heavenly places, but sure could use some blessings in earthly places. Let's look at John 14. John 14. You know, the Lord is preparing a wonderful mansion for us one day. Those who know the Lord as Savior. In John 14, in verse 1. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just think, we were out witnessing yesterday, and Brother Ethan and I were at a door, and he mentioned about, pointed to the house, and it needed paint. And I saw that too. The paint was peeling off. It's going to be so much different in heaven. Beautiful mansions that God has prepared. Right now, maybe your earthly house needs something. I know some of you were up on a roof yesterday doing shingles. It seems like that house wasn't built that long ago to me, but shingles, siding. I have some windows on my house. It seems like my house wasn't built that long ago, and I tried to buy some really good windows, but at the bottoms of some of those windows, the vinyl is cracked, and the company is not going to stand behind it. It's beyond their warranty. And I mean, to me, it still seems like a new house, but to them, it seems like an old house. No, we won't cover that. So that's the way it goes here, but not in heaven. God is preparing some mansions for us. And then think in Revelation 21 and verse 21. Some of our leaders here upon this earth curse and swear about our roads. And it doesn't seem to help much, does it? Cursing and swearing doesn't help anything. It doesn't help the roads either. But praise God. God is building roads the right way the first time, and so they'll never need it. Years ago, someone told me, and I cannot think who it was, but this man was in construction and road type construction, and he told me, he said, Burger King restaurants, you may or may not like their hamburgers, but the parking lots, he said, the specs for their parking lots are really tremendous. And I can't remember, I wish I knew who it was exactly told me, because that same man could probably tell me what the specs are. But I don't know if it's 12 inches of sand and 6 inches of gravel and 4 inches of limestone. I don't know the exact combination. But I've noticed a lot of parking lots of buildings that are much, much, much newer than the Burger King. And unless I've missed something there, that tar is as flat and good as years, many years ago. I drive in other store parking lots, and it's like they did the minimum they have to, and the tar is all wavy and cracked and sinking some places and not another. But you know what? They put down a tremendous foundation because they want the parking lot to last. They don't want to have to redo it again frequently. And think of the streets in heaven. Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was what? Pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So not only is it a good foundation for it, but it's pure gold, but it's also clean. And we were at some place last night in a parking lot in a store, and the street sweeper was going back and forth, back and forth. Meyer just redid their parking lot just a week or two ago. And I was noticing one night as we went to the store just how dirty the parking lot was. I mean, there were papers and trash all over every place. So brand new parking lot, but it constantly needs clean. This street is going to be like transparent glass. So the mansions in heaven, the street in heaven. And then we think about the trees, and thinking in particular here about probably the millennium. But, you know, some of our scientists today are tampering with our crops. And I don't know exactly how they got, I don't know if there's just a certain strain of wheat or if they genetically modified it. But if you notice that a lot of the wheat is only about this tall now, and to me, it looks anemic, and it's like, wow, what happened? That wheat field needs some more water, but no, that's the seed they're using. And I guess part of it is that, you know, many times in July, if you get a hard thunderstorm, it'll knock the wheat down and it won't come back up. Maybe hard for the combine to pick it up. And then I guess another part of it is we've lost so many dairy farms, the small family size, where they use a lot of straw and things, that now they just liquefy everything. And so they don't use near as much straw. And so, you know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know why, but they're experimenting with our foods, I think, to our detriment. There's so many allergies. When I was a boy, every child liked peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, so many children are allergic to peanuts. Just a lot of them are allergic to peanuts. I don't know of anybody that was allergic to peanuts when I was young. Sicknesses, all kinds of things. The gluten intolerance, I never heard of gluten intolerance when I was a boy, anyone having that. But all this genetically modified crops, and maybe that's it, maybe it's not, but it sure seems suspicious that they start tampering with our food, and now we've got this problem. And of course, now they want us to pay a premium price to buy food that's non-GMO, that's not been genetically modified. But we think of food that is good and wholesome and to help you stay healthy. A lot of times people talk about finding the fountain of youth, something to keep them young. Well, the Bible does talk about some fountains. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 14. Proverbs 13:14. The Bible says the law of the wise is a what? Fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So what is this fountain of life here? It's the law of the wise. The law of the wise. Let's look at chapter 14, Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is what? A fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So the fear of the Lord, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Let's look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 13. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the what? Fountain of living waters. So the Lord is the fountain of living waters. So we talked about several different fountains here. The law of the wise, the fear of the Lord himself. But God also created a tree, and he's bringing that tree back one day. But let's look in Genesis 3. In the meantime, God had to take it away. You may say, why would God take away a tree that's like the fountain of youth that everyone searches for, or some people search for? Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of what? The tree of life and eat and what? Live forever. Now, this is after Adam and Eve sinned. Same chapter, but after they sinned. And God is still saying, listen, we need to do something, because if they have continued access to this tree and eat, they're going to live forever. And you may say, well, why wouldn't God want man to live forever? Well, God did want man to live forever, and he does want man to live forever, but not in a body of sin. Now, if you're here today and healthy and whole, and you don't have an ache or pain in your body, and you're just full of energy, you may say, well, I wish I could live in this body forever. But you ask those that are a little older who have some arthritis and some aches and pains and some physical issues, and if you ask them, now, would you want to live in this same body forever, or would you like to trade it in for a brand new body? And they'll say, I vote for the new body. And that's what they'll say. So it was actually very gracious of God to take away the tree of life for a time and just let these bodies expire someday, because he has glorified bodies with no pain, no suffering ahead for us. Praise the Lord. So in verse 23, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And after this chapter, we never read about it in the Old Testament again. A man was forbidden to go back into the Garden of Eden. And of course, in the flood, we don't know the exact point even. I mean, we know the river's there, but anyway, it's a race. But God still has that tree, and he's bringing it back. Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 1. Revelation 22:1. Now in chapter 21:1, he makes a new heaven and a new earth. But in chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there what? The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, this reason I believe this point here goes back to the millennium is because it talks about the healing of the nations. So we're not talking about in the eternal state. You wouldn't need healing at that point. But God is going to bring this tree back to the earth, the tree of life. And man will not have to worry about preserving it. You know, you say, well, that's wonderful, the tree of life. Wow, if eating from this tree will cause me to live forever, then I need to can this fruit. I need to freeze it. I need to dry it or pickle it or something. I mean, I need to save it. I have got to preserve this fruit because, you know, if the fruit comes and then what if I run out? I need it. But you notice here in verse 2, Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit. What? Every month. You see right here, you're not going to have to get out the canning jars or the freezing bags or you're not going to have to dry this fruit. It's going to produce every month. It says, yielded her fruit every month. And you may say, well, that's great, but eating of this, I want to keep eating of it. It says if you eat of it, they would have lived forever. But you know how it is, even with manna. Sounded really good, but what happened? They got tired of it. Sometimes you eat something, the same thing so many times, you just get sick of it. But that's not going to be the case here. You read verse 2 once again. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare what? 12 manner of fruits. And then it says, and yielded her fruit every month. So this tree is going to produce a fruit, 12 different manners of fruit. So a fruit a month. So you're not going to get tired of it. I mean, normally when strawberries come on, it seems nice. And if strawberries were only on a month, you probably wouldn't get tired of it. And then blueberries on a month, whatever the case. And so people are not going to get tired of this tree. It produces 12 different fruits. A different fruit every month matures on it. So what a wonderful thing. So back in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. So back to our topic in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So people say, well, that's great that he's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But what about here and now? Well, nothing here and now lasts. The best place to have treasure is in heavenly places. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6:19. Do you really want treasures upon earth? Matthew 6. When I was going to the hospital this morning to take the DVD to extended care, there was a man, I don't know, he looked older than me. Maybe he really wasn't, I don't know. But he went by, I had to wait for him to go by, and he was in a new Camaro. It was some color blue, between medium and dark blue. And he's just kind of, he's like going 50 miles an hour. I mean, he's not racing it, just kind of chugging along. And I'm just thinking, what a waste. What a waste. Because as a teenager, that was too much of my life was cars, and it just happened to be a Camaro was too much of my life. And I'm thinking of this guy, and I actually sat in one of those new model Camaros in Sparta one time when I was waiting at a dealership, and it's like, it seems like you can't hardly see out the windows. You might not be able to notice it, seeing one drive by, but you sit in one of those things, and it looks like you're peering out of a window about that tall. And it didn't appeal to me at all. My treasure is not there, praise God, anymore. When I was young, I was foolish, and that was my treasure. But notice in Matthew 6:19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon where? Earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. Now in verse 19, it tells us not to lay up treasures here on earth because moth doth corrupt. Now, years ago in old farmhouses, it seems like a lot of them had a cedar closet. How many of you have ever been in an old farmhouse or a house with a cedar closet? Yeah. Why did they do that? Well, to keep the moths out. Just what the Bible says here, moths corrupt. There's something about the smell of cedar wood, aromatic cedar wood, that would keep moths away. And so people would pack their woolen clothes through the summer in the cedar closet so the moths wouldn't get at it. And when moths lay their eggs in woolen clothes, then when the larvae hatch, they eat the woolen clothes and leave holes in them. So the Bible tells us, don't have your treasure here. Don't have your treasure in your closet because the moths might eat it. Other animals eat other things that are treasures. Don't make a house your treasure because animals can eat through that and eat it up. Because of high fuel prices, people began to put styrofoam on the outside of their basements. Well, and at first they didn't realize it, but termites love, especially that white bead styrofoam. And so people would put that on their basements, and then the termites would eat into the white styrofoam, and they would go up right into the house, right into the wood, keep chewing. And so they learned you can't use that type of styrofoam anyway. So there goes the treasure. I was in a house working on it one time, up in the attic, an older home. And I had a flashlight up there in the attic, and I swung the flashlight around, and there were some boards down there, and below one of the boards, sticking out about that far, was a squirrel tail. And so it wasn't moving, so I figured it was dead, and it was. It was a red squirrel who had gnawed its way into the house and got in the attic, and there was some mouse poison up there, and I suspect he probably ate too much of that and passed away up in the attic there. So don't make your house your treasure because the animals can get to that as well. Back in Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and what? Rust doth corrupt. So, number one, animals can harm earthly treasures. Number two, elements can harm earthly treasures. The element being rust. Salt and metal equal rust. And sometimes, you know, they're making some of the new Ford trucks out of aluminum, the frames and so on. But go to the post office downtown and you'll see that salt also has its impact even upon aluminum after years. If you go into the post office, you're at the bottom where they salt the steps heavy. I don't know if they're granite or what. There's some type of stone at the post office. And so they just plaster it with salt in the winter. And you can see the bottom part of the aluminum entrance doors and panels is just ate right away by the salt there. So moth and rust doth corrupt. So animals can get to our earthly treasures. Elements can take them away. Number three, people can harm our earthly treasures. in Matthew 6:19 once again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where what? Thieves break through and steal. People are afraid of thieves. That's why people sometimes get expensive jewelry and sometimes they don't even wear it that much. They put it in their safe deposit box in the bank. Well, I guess maybe it's a good investment. I don't know. But if something is so expensive and you're so worried about it being stolen, you can't even wear it. You have to put it in the bank deposit box. I don't know. To me, I don't think I'd go that route. But maybe you are going that route. So that's between you and the Lord. But thieves break through and steal. Notice in 1 Timothy 1. And verse 9, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9. We certainly see the truth of this with all the riots that have gone on. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for who? The lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So, who's crying to do away with the police? Well, it's this group right here. The verse 9 said, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. It's the lawless that want to abolish the police. They are this group. These are the type of people they are. So the point is are we really ready for the end times? Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, not only the end times of this earth, but you know what? We might not live to see, the rapture may be very close, but that does not mean that I'm going to see it. I could die in a car accident before the rapture ever takes place. The 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in what? The last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So these are more signs of the end times, and we see these upon us. But the point is our end time might be closer than even the rapture. So are we prepared? Notice in Daniel 5, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 22. Daniel 5, verse 22. Belshazzar had seen all that his dad had faced and how his dad repented, but it did not have an impact upon his young heart. Daniel 5 and verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. But hast what? Lifted up thyself against who? The Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in what? Whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Well, what was the end of that? Look in verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, what? Slain. He died that night. And you know, that very thing could happen to any one of us. You know, sometimes you may hear about someone getting a cancer or having something else that the doctors say, well, they try, but they can't they can't help them. And our hearts go out to people that face things like that. But you know what? It doesn't mean we're going to live as long as they are going to live. Notice in James 4, James chapter 4 and verse 14. James 4, 14. James 4, 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, so it kind of goes along with Pastor Jeremy's Sunday school lesson this morning about, so our time could be short, so we try to get the word of God out. And because of that, sometimes we're going to face things that maybe even the lost will not face. I remember talking to Brother Jerry Bond at more than one occasion about this very thing. Sometimes, as a Christian, it seems like you face more trials than the unsaved. And you think, sometimes you may be tempted to think, Lord, why? I'm your child. That person isn't. That person blasphemes your name, and I seem to have more trouble than that person. Why? Well, last night was a good picture, a good occasion to show the truth. I have trouble with pizza sauce. I love pizza, but I have trouble with the sauce and heartburn. So I order, you know, it's kind of like ordering a hamburger and saying, I'd like a hamburger with no meat and no lettuce and no tomato. What's left? The bun. So I order pizza saying, I'd like a pizza with no sauce and just cheese. And you may be surprised, and you may not be surprised, how often they forget and put on the sauce. It's just normal. I mean, what's pizza without sauce? I don't know. I guess I eat a lot of that without sauce. So anyway, I've had multiple opportunities to show the patience of God. But so last night, we get to the pizza place, and he just brings out two pizzas. There were supposed to be three. And I said to him, there were supposed to be three. And we had ordered two, which were more normal. And then one of my abnormal pizzas. But believe it or not, last night, and my wife caught this, but I didn't, they got the abnormal one right and one of the normal pizzas right. But there were supposed to be two of the normal pizzas. And so the guy said to me, I told him, I said, there should be three pizzas. And so he says, oh, yeah, that's right. And so he come up and the manager was behind him. And he said, you know, he asked me if I wanted the other pizza still. And yes. And so he said, just do it. We'll just give that one to you free. I says, you don't have to do that. I says, I'll pay for it. He says, no. He says, I told somebody back there, you know, and they just didn't listen. And I said to him, I said, you know, that's a lot like us, isn't it? We don't listen to God very well, do we? And so I give him a gospel tract, and then he asked about the church, where it was, and so on. And so that was an opportunity to be a witness to him. And then coming back, the manager, I couldn't tell you how many times I've had to talk to the manager because they've gotten my abnormal pizza wrong. And I have talked to him multiple times. And always at the end, I'll tell him, the Lord bless you. And always before, he's always been silent when I say that. I couldn't count how many times I said that to him. But my wife was with me last night and can testify. When I said that to him last night, the Lord bless you, he said to me, and you too. That's the first time he's ever acknowledged that or said anything after I say that. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, that is one reason why as Christians we might face irritating, maybe reoccurring things. It's so that we can show forgiveness and love, because that's what those people need. They need to know that God will forgive them and that He loves them. That's His goal. His goal is not to judge them. So I'm sorry, but as Christians, that's part of our lot in life, is showing them the love of God and forgiveness. So that even if it's something that irritates you and causes you to go back multiple times, that's just showing them multiple times that God is still waiting and loving them and wants to forgive them. So I was greatly encouraged after that. It didn't bother me at all. It's just a way of life now. So if you order things and it comes wrong, just mark it down. God wants you to show forth His light to those people. So don't get mad. Just bless them in the Lord's name. So let's go back to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. So when we get saved, I mean, okay, what if God said, okay, well, I'll give you your choice. I'm not saying He's going to give you this choice, but let's just say He did. Okay, Mike, I'll give you your choice. Do you want treasure here, or do you want treasure in spiritual place, in heavenly places? Where do you want your treasure? Well, in Matthew 6:31, take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. So God wants us to put Him first, and then He'll meet all of our needs. And do we really want any more than that? Because everything else is just going to perish. If we'll seek God first and lay up treasure in heaven, if you notice there in verse 19, once again, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. If we can lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves can't get to, wouldn't we much rather? I mean, isn't that the better deal by far? And in doing so, and in seeking God first, and in laying up treasures in heaven, God then promises to meet our earthly needs. Really, what more should we want? Because if we have treasure here, it's all going to perish. But where is our hearts? Notice in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. It's real easy to say, well, that's wonderful to have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But are we tempted to complain? Where is our heart? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. There was a 17-year-old young man, and the article was just written 22 days ago, so it's got to be fairly recent. 17-year-old man went to the emergency room because he'd been having chest pains for 3 days. They did an EKG, and it showed there was some abnormality going on in the heart. So they did a CAT scan. And what they found was what they described was a linear, so a straight line, metallic foreign object lodged in his heart. It was 1.4 inches long. It was jutting out of the heart's right ventricle, or the lower right chamber of the heart that pumps blood to the lungs. So they asked this teen question, and nothing seemed to be unusual about what he'd been doing. But in a later interview, they had to take him in and do open heart surgery. And what they found in his heart was a needle, a sewing needle. And so in a later interview, they asked him, and they said, "Do you know that you've swallowed anything?" And he said, "No." But the 17-year-old liked to tailor his own clothes. And he said, "Well, I often put pins in my mouth, you know, while I'm doing, you know, this and that." He did not know it, but he swallowed one of those pins. And the medical people were so astounded at something so unusual that you could swallow a pin and it end up in your heart, not just pass through. And so it lodged right in his heart, and they had to get in there and remove it. He did recover, but he might not have. And so as we think about it, what if he had not recovered and was not saved? Then his home would have been where? Hell. But if he is saved and did not recover, then his home would be heaven. So the point with us is, we never know from moment to moment whether we're going to make it through, like this young man made it through the surgery and went back to his earthly home. But we want people to be prepared, don't we, for their heavenly home. But there's a problem, and that is this. They often have no clue what they have swallowed in life. There's all kinds of people that have swallowed lies. The Jehovah's Witness cult, the Mormon cult, the Seventh-day Adventists, and a whole bunch of others. The Roman Catholicism. They've swallowed lies. And they don't even know it, that their heart, that those lies have lodged in their heart. And they need forgiveness. They need the Lord, Jeremiah 17:10, to search the heart and to show them what's wrong. And so I pray that God would help us to be able to get the truth to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do have a wonderful home prepared for us. And we understand that our earthly home is not our treasure. But we sure thank you for the heavenly home that you have prepared for us. That does sound like a heavenly treasure to us. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us. It's so easy in life to swallow all kinds of lies, all kinds of deceit, and not even to realize how our heart has been affected through it. Lord, please open our understanding. Please search our hearts and lead us in the way of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.